Live from the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios.
The man your man could smell.
Theo Dorsey is theoretically speaking.
But are you a different animal and the same beast?
Streaming live on YouTube.
You're gonna break up with me because of what I do on the radio?
Here's Theo Dorsey.
Good people. It's your boy back here from Kaseya Center, Theo Dorsey. We got C-Cat. Right next to me, we got Kay Chumslin back in the City Play Studios in West Palm Beach on the ones and the twos. And honestly, it's fitting that we got the backup QB in today because tonight at Hard Rock Stadium, the Miami Dolphins going with Snoop Huntley, the backup QB.
Wait a second. You're not the quarterback on your own show?
I'm talking about Kate.
Yeah.
Kate is filling in for you.
I would say you're the quarterback. Like the backup quarterback of the show? Wouldn't be Cade.
Well,
I'm not the quarterback, theoretically speaking. I'd say it was you.
Huh. Well, I guess figuratively speaking, nothing is apples to apples. But you're right. I guess, so what would your role be then? Are you the center?
Yeah.
Center?
Yeah, I think you got your hands up and under there. You grab the football after
No, we're shotgun then. If you're the center, we're shotgun.
Wow.
Yeah, we're taking shotgun snaps.
Someone's got something to compensate for.
It's not about compensating. I like to get some space between me and the defense so I can read everything. I'm like Peyton Manning.
Yeah, locker room guy for sure.
What?
You got to keep a separation between you and the offensive line that keeps you safe.
So you would feel offended if you were my center and I only want to do shotgun snaps.
Yeah. What's wrong with my bottom?
Pistol? What about pistol?
Yeah, no.
Meet you halfway?
If we need a quarterback sneak, I'm not going to hit you a shotgun snap. No, you're going to get up and under there. You're going to be comfortable up and under there because we're not going to go under center for the first time all season.
So we got to practice.
The one time. Exactly. That's the problem that Penn State had for many, many years. They only did the shotgun. Mm-hmm. So when they had fourth and goal from the inch line, they would start on the shotgun and they wouldn't convert because they couldn't do a normal quarterback sneak.
You listening to this guy, Theo? He did all of that splaining just to bring in Penn State.
Right. I think that was probably his angle from the jump. He tries to sneak in his Penn State talk here and there, like a center would.
I think we would
just
actually
like
do better as a producer-host relationship if we had a solid transaction quarterback center, under center.
Listen, this relationship is clearly Theo quarterback, C-Cat head coach. You
Thank
guys
you.
Can't
head
communicate.
Coach?
You guys cannot communicate with each other during the play, during conflict.
Absolutely
there's all
not.
Of this fight. But as soon as something good happens, then you guys are complete buddies.
Kate, first and foremost, you interjecting here and trying to claim that C-Cat would be my head coach, on theoretically speaking, I take more offense to that than him being the starting quarterback.
That you said.
I said it. I'm a team player, but you being the head coach, that exerts some authority that you have over me.
You don't play unless I say you play.
Yeah, like you could bench me.
Yeah,
if you were
the hook.
Head coach. Yeah,
we're having a tough A block.
Yeah,
you're wait a second. Where's Russo? Russo?
Hold on a second here.
Call up Zaz. What's going on?
Maybe you can grab Udonis Haslam here, who's here doing an interview with our guy Frank from FAU. He can jump in and sub in for me. He'd do a much better job here on radio than I. He's got some great stories to tell, I'm sure, here from Kaseya Center for the Miami Heat. But no. If we were to break down positions here, maybe I would be quarterback. I don't think you would be center, and I'm also not entirely sure. What up, UD? We'll say what's up, man. I had to say what's up to the OG, man. We know Evan Cohen, by the way.
Oh, Evan?
Yeah, that's the big homie.
I enjoy spending some time up there.
For sure. Already knowing. I just did that on live radio because that's how much I care about UD and respect the legends and the OG. Yeah, I did that, C-Cat. I can do things like that because you're not my head coach, and you would have stopped me if you were.
So I can't give you the hook?
No.
I can't right now. I said, that's it. Go to break. That's it.
Did you see me name drop Evan Cohen?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It didn't seem natural.
I know. I did it purposely because we talked about it beforehand, and I'm a man of my word. I said I'd name drop Evan Cohen there. I'm going to play that for him, and I'm sure Udonis was like, who, Owen?
He's going to cook you for saying, hey, what's up, UD? We know Evan Cohen.
Yeah, we know Evan. Yeah. How lame. Weak. How whack is that? He said, okay, I know it. Of course.
That's really bad. That's like someone who works in ESPN in Bristol going, we know Stephen A.
No, it's worse because at least Stephen A is like Stephen A.
He's a bigger name.
Yeah, like Evan Cohen, that's the guy you went for to win the love of Udonis Haslam. That's how low you stooped. That's all. He probably was thinking like, that's it.
Hey, we know Sam Darnold.
Hey, that's the MVP you're talking about.
Having a moment right now. Last year's been great for Sam Darnold.
Yeah.
Last year's been great for Evan Cohen.
Yeah.
But It's not Stephen A.
And forever, that's going to live on. And I can't. I'm glad we have it on video here. Jump on the YouTube stream there. Me dapping up UD saying, hey, we know Evan Cohen. Can't wait to play that for him. And then I guarantee you, UD is Googling in his phone right now who Evan Cohen is so he can remember
Evan
exactly
Cohen,
who we're talking
about.
The
YouTube channel, yeah. The questionable call.
Yeah.
That's the wrong one.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, gosh. Can't wait. Evan will be with us, Wednesday here on Theoretically Speaking. His typical spot, unsportsmanlike host with Michelle Smallman and Chris Canty. We do need to jump on this safe bound, get around to hit the major football stops of the weekend. So no better time than now. I know that, you know, in about an hour or so, we're going to be actually hitting the road. So why not strap up those seatbelts and jump on the get around?
I get around. What you mean you don't know? Round and round, round and round. I get around.
The Safe Bound Get Around is brought to you by Safe Bound Moving and Storage, your trusted moving and storage company. They are based in West Palm Beach. They are family owned. And CCAT, you have moved yourself out of places 8 or 9 times in your life, and you hated yourself every time you did it.
It is the worst thing on planet Earth, moving without the professionals at Safe Bound.
It doesn't even make sense anymore. Especially these days when a lot of us are, you know, you're working those big boy jobs, you're getting a relocation fee anyways.
Yes.
Hey, spend that relocation fee with some pros who can also help you not bang up your walls on the way out with your couches trying to play Tetris. So now you get your full security deposit from your last spot, and you take a lot of the stress and burden off of yourself to get your stuff out of there and get to the next location.
That's a great point. Like, that is a good investment.
Yes.
Dollars and cents wise, as a guy who really looks at the bottom line, if you're sacrificing security deposits to try to do it yourself, why would you do that?
You're
why would you make your life so much easier with SafeBound?
My dad used to always say, he still says it, but he doesn't say it as verbosely anymore because I'm a lot better. He says, lazy people work the hardest. Cheap people spend the most. You know what I'm saying? You're trying to be cheap. You're trying to hold on to your dollar, and you're going to end up spending a lot of money on your own U-Haul, on your own, you know, whatever other vehicles you need to get out of there. It gets ugly. SafeBound Moving and Storage, that's the place to go. Family-owned and operated. You're safe with SafeBound, even for your storage needs. Kate, what's our first stop there?
Next stop.
We're going to Tuscaloosa. We're number 4, Alabama defeated number 2, Georgia, 41-34. Alabama blew a 28-point lead, but saves themselves with 43 seconds left in the fourth quarter.
Oh.
Who was that, man?
Ryan Williams. Have you heard he's 17 years old, CK?
He's 17 years old, and he had eye black on that said, kill everybody.
Oh, my. I'm afraid of Ryan Williams.
I'm going to show up to work tomorrow with that.
Yeah.
Going to your day job and just kill everybody?
Deservedly so. The dude also, with that touchdown grab, he didn't just win the game for Bama. Roll Tide. He also won me a prize pick entry because I needed one more Jalen Milroe passing touchdown. I needed one Ryan Williams receiving touchdown. I got them both in one fell swoop, and maybe one of the most electric show-stopping plays I've seen in a while in college football, and I likened it to the Minneapolis Miracle. It felt similar. Not the same, not apples to apples, but on that same sideline, except this time it was the guy making the play, the receiver making the play, and not a D-back whiffing.
Yeah, and that made me think immediately about the Heisman race.
Oh, man.
The first thing I thought of was, okay, Milroe won the big game against Georgia.
Yeah.
Cam Ward survived. It wasn't pretty.
It wasn't.
Miami survived.
It was ugly.
He's in the race. He's one of the favorites. Travis Hunter hit the Heisman pose over the weekend after his interception. He caught a touchdown over the weekend, too, as well. So we got Cam Ward, Jalen Milroe from Bama, Travis Hunter from Colorado, and we've got maybe the greatest running back performance season in progress right now at Boise State with Ashton Jeanty. I have a question for the people online at ESPN West Palm on X on Twitter. The on-air poll of the week presented by Vote Palm Beach. Who is the favorite to win the Heisman?
I love it. Jump on right now and vote. And remember, our Monday poll brings a friendly reminder from the Palm Beach County Supervisor of Elections. The general election is November 5th. All right, you have to be registered to vote by Monday, October 7th. Look at your calendar. That's about a week away. A week away. You have to be registered to vote a week from today. And in order to make your voice heard, you have to be registered. Your vote is your voice, and we're here to make it count. Visit registertovoteflorida.gov for all the info you need to be ready to go in November. And if I had to pick one out of those four, I got to be selfish. I got to be a homer. Give me my guy Cam Ward. And celebration comes with it.
See, Ashton Jeanty, he's my pick right now. Yeah. I put the big quarterback names and Travis Hunter there for a reason because I knew they'd get votes. But in the replies, in the comments, on at ESPN West Palm on Twitter, Ashton Jeanty getting a whole lot of love. How about this? In four games, 13 touchdowns, averaging 10.3 yards per carry.
It's crazy.
845 yards on the ground on 82 carries. We're seeing the greatest, really, in progress. If he continues this trend,
yeah,
he will have put forth the greatest running back performance that we've seen in the modern era.
You can't even put up those numbers in a video game because the 10 yards a carry?
Yeah.
Like, if you do that in a video game, I think you're cheating, let alone him doing it in real life with Boise State against real comp. They played Oregon this year already. What's next, Kate?
Next up.
Next up, we're going to Glendale, Arizona, where the Commanders dominated the Cardinals 42-24. Jaden Daniels sets a rookie record with the highest completion percentage through four games, surpassing Tom Brady's record in 2007.
Jaden Daniels is the real deal, man. He's showing himself at least to be Is he already? I mean, he's better than Caleb Williams right now. Caleb Williams was missing on routine throws yesterday. They still got the win over the Rams, but he was missing on routine throws, and Jaden Daniels has the threat of his legs at a much higher clip than Caleb. He has the accuracy, the precision throws. He has less of a receiving core, and he's doing more with it, and he's beating good teams. I'm all aboard the Jaden Daniels train. I just hope he can stay healthy. He's a very frail dude. And seeing him with Doug Williams, I'm like, oh, man. Washington's got some good things coming in their future. The big thing, though, you talked about the completion percentage. He's the first quarterback in the history of the league to have back-to-back games with 85% completion percentage.
Really?
Yeah, the history of the league. Gosh. Back-to-back games with over 85% completion percentage. That's all Jaden Daniels has done. It's four days into his career.
It's crazy because that's not the Jaden Daniels that we were sold out of college. We were sold on a roller coaster of a quarterback who's going to take you for a ride. He's going to be entertaining. It might be pro-Commanders entertaining. It might be anti-Commanders entertaining.
Yeah.
He's probably going to turn the football over. He's going to throw wild touchdowns. That's not what we're getting. We're not getting the roller coaster of a quarterback performance. We're seeing Mr. Consistent and Mr. Accurate Jaden Daniels. I can't think of a franchise that's waking up today happier with the place they're in right now than the Commanders.
Yeah. When you look at the record versus the other people in their division, when you look at the state of their future going forward, you got to feel good. You got to feel good if you're the Washington Commanders. And I can't – yeah, you're right. Especially not out of the contenders. Not out of the contenders. Our next stop, we're going to have a guest barge in here to the Get Around. Kate Chumslin, our next stop brings us to some breaking news.
I got a little bit St. Lucie Battery and Tire breaking news for you. The New York Mets have tied it in the top of the eighth. It is 3-3 right now. Runners on base with zero outs. We got a tie ball game in Atlanta.
Oh, man. So if you recall – if you just tuned in, the situation that's going on in Atlanta right now,
yeah,
a doubleheader between division rivals, Mets and Braves. If they split that series, both teams make the playoffs. If one team sweeps that doubleheader, then the team that sweeps is in. The team that gets swept is out, and the Diamondbacks are in. So the Met, the winner of this game, really controls their destiny. No doubt about that.
So the winner of this game controls their destiny. Really, both teams still will control their destiny because if you win the second game after you lose the first one, you have a shot there. I don't know what I would be rooting for if I'm the Diamondbacks right now. You kind of was hoping if you're the Diamondbacks that the first game was a blowout. You probably were hoping that because if you have a contentious first game, there's a chance that maybe the Braves – like let's say the Braves win a very close first game. There's a chance that maybe they're like a little heated. You know what I'm saying? A little bothered, a little bit, you know, contentious. Maybe they feel like the Mets are a threat, and they're like, we got to keep this team out of the playoffs.
The team that loses gets showed up on the mound, strike three, shows them up. The other team, the dugout's angry. And
you want to blow
anger between the both. You want to beat them just for the hell of it.
Yeah. Another live update, boys. Mets take the lead. It's 4-3, zero outs, top of the eighth.
Talk about Atlanta sports collapses. This would be right up there with them if the Braves go on to lose this one and the back end of the doubleheader at home. Now, that would be prototypical, stereotypical Atlanta sports.
That's tough because they got a lot of injuries this year.
Yeah.
The Braves have, like, a lot of their best players
have been out. No excuses. Because I don't know which Braves players are injured. What's next, Kate?
Next stop.
Let's go to Inglewood, California. Where is that, you say? That's where SoFi Stadium
is. Hey, all right.
Travis Kelce. Hey, he actually woke up. 7 catches for 89 yards in Sunday's 17-10 victory over the Chargers for the Chiefs, but that really wasn't the headline of the game. Oh, it wasn't the welcome to the year 2024 Travis Kelce. It was, we may have seen the last of Rashee Rice in 2024 after he got injured from Pat Mahomes trying to make a tackle after an interception.
It's no coincidence that Travis Kelce had his best game in the same game that Rashee Rice went out, because the guy who's been dominating in the same portion of the field that Kelce used to is Rice, who is more explosive, has better hands, is better after the catch, and a better route runner right now than Travis Kelce. He's a shell of himself. He's washed. I can't think of a worse play outcome for the Chiefs than Patrick Mahomes throwing an ill-advised interception in the triple coverage to Travis Kelce. Him then tracking down the defender, making a tackle, your franchise quarterback, the guy that this whole thing swings on, and in the process of trying to make a tackle, him injuring Rashee Rice, the most important weapon on that offense right now. You already got Pacheco out, injuring him, and it looks like that might be for the year. We have Andy Reid already saying that the Chiefs are going to have to spread the ball around now in their offensive attack. That could be good to build chemistry with other guys, but the chemistry that Rice and Mahomes had today was looking like one of the best connections between receiver and quarterback in the league, and that's going to hurt the Chiefs' playoffs hopes even more than the Pacheco injury. This is dire. This is terrible for Kansas City.
I think going into Sunday, he was leading the NFL in passing in receiving yards.
Receiving yards.
I mean, Rashee Rice gone. He's out of here.
He was the offense, especially with Pacheco out. He was probably going to get 10, 11, 12 targets on Sunday. It's ugly for the Chiefs. I do wonder how much wiggle room they have in their cap space to go out and try and get a guy like Amari Cooper from the Browns. That's what's been rumored. I don't think they can stand pat with that wide receiver room as is. Sky Moore? I need to see less. Less is more when it comes to Sky Moore. And if he ever is the number one target or the play is drawn up for him on a third down again, I'm going to have to pull Andy Reid's coaching card, because that is just not the position you want to put him in. What's next there, Kate?
Next stop.
Let's take a trip in the time machine. NFL was great yesterday. But really, apart from Bama, Georgia, the college football game that resonated most in my brain wasn't my Penn State Nittany Lions. It was maybe about a half-hour drive from here, Kaseya Center, because I want to go to Hard Rock Stadium, where number 7, Miami, held off Virginia Tech 38-34 to stay unbeaten after the Hail Mary that wasn't.
That play, I was so aggravated because we were back at the ESPN West Palm offices following a night of shooting Friday Night Football. So I'm watching as I was shooting a game at St. Andrews, a high school football game, watching the Miami game on my phone. A lot of my highlights have Miami highlights sounds in the background because I'm a little, you know, I'm tag teaming right now. I'm a little bit multitasking. And to get back to the office and to see the referees wait 15 seconds, then throw up their arms and call that a touchdown after that ball did more moving than the get around, like in Buddy's hands. It was ugly. It was never a catch. He never had the ball in his possession. And if they had to rule that that was a catch just based on the lack of evidence to overturn it because it was so muddied up and there were so many players involved, I would have been almost as sick about that as I was about that Fiesta Bowl call where the refs threw the late flag. Chris Gamble, Ohio State, the reason why I hate Buckeyes fans and the Buckeyes for the eternity. That would have been sick.
He was a master in dramatics. What's up, Cade?
You know how those little kids are watching their favorite movie and their face is right up to the television screen?
Yes.
That was Theo in the office after that play went down. The replay came on. Yeah. He runs over to the TV and he's staring right in front of it. Throws up his hands and then says it's not a catch. And then he paced for about another 10 minutes while the refs got their stuff together.
I had to walk out and go get a coffee while they were doing that. I was that nervous about what the outcome of that play would have been, and I didn't want to be around people when I heard it.
Yeah, the ball and chain went to bed. So I'm sitting there on my couch after a long day's of work in the pitch black watching the game going,
God.
Screaming in the living room because I couldn't believe it. Again, I don't have a dog in a fight. I thought it'd be hilarious if Miami lost that way.
Yeah, thanks.
I thought it'd be cool for Miami to still be relevant as we go later into the college football season. And the length of time it took from the end of that play to, they eventually call a touchdown. You said like 15 seconds.
Yeah.
And then there was also maybe 5 seconds in there where the ball was still loose. And then eventually, I forget what player from Miami took the ball out of the scrum, ran down the field.
Yeah.
That's the pop from Miami Hard Rock Stadium because of how silent it was in Hard Rock Stadium when that ball went up because everyone was looking for the ball to be slapped down, rolling in the back of the end zone or whatever, and how long it took where everyone was giving their theories about how, man, the ACC can't really afford Miami to lose that game. If the call is up to the review booth at the ACC headquarters, you know which way they want to lean. But what I want to say is they got the right call. Maybe they didn't use the legal correct way to do it.
Yeah.
Because they did call it a touchdown. There was a lot of evidence there. Not sure if it was too damning to overturn the call.
Yeah.
Replay review should not be used 100%. It should not be you have to have undisputable evidence. It should not be that way.
Yeah.
I know that's the rule. I know that's the law in all sports that we've seen. Has to be undisputable video evidence. It should not be that way. If you are 51% positive that he was safe, that that ball was caught, that that ball was dropped, if it's 51% or more, then go with that side. That's what it tells me. I don't need to rely on some 55-year-old referee who has so many other things going on the field right now to rely on his eyeballs to be a determining factor when you have the cameras.
I'm with you on, and I think that they do it. I just think the letter of the law says clear and undisputable. But there's a good chance because if they caught that one from Friday night, a no catch, if they were able to overturn that one, then clearly it's not a 100% thing. It could be 99.9 or 95% because if you were a person that was arguing that that was a catch, that he did receive it and hold it for a split second, there's enough in there for you to still make an argument. If you freeze frame it the right way, you can have a leg to stand on. But come on, dude, that was not even close to a catch.
Yeah, I think it was the right call.
Justice was served.
Incomplete was the right call.
Justice was served, ooh, and Cam Ward is still on his Heisman track.
Yeah, that end of that game kind of took away from the drive that Cam Ward led to give Miami the lead on the drive prior.
Yeah.
That chest pass while going to the ground. Man. I forget who he hit in the chest, one of the tight ends.
88, yeah.
Yeah, one of the white guys. I don't know.
Well, actually, I think he's a brother. 88. We'll have to look. I'm not.
Maybe white sleeves.
Yeah. If I say, but either way, and then his play after the catch to go out there and score. It was incredible. It was elite. It was amazing. And if you're the Miami Dolphins, going to be hard to follow up a performance like that at home tonight against the Tennessee Titans team that you literally lost your season to last year. That's something that gets slept on. That Dolphins-Titans game last year where the Dolphins were up by 13 with under 14 to go and they were unable to close it out. The Titans come back and beat them in the last 2 minutes with a Will Levis-led team. That's what lost them the division. That's the reason why they had to travel to Arrowhead and play in that sub-zero game against the eventual Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs. And we're not standing here today talking about the Dolphins having a 24-year drought of winning a playoff game, which is the longest in all professional sports. If they just simply close out a game against the Titans, there's some demons to exercise here tonight at Hard Rock Stadium. And if you're the Dolphins and you're doing it with Snoop Huntley, at the very least, you got a fresh face in there who won't be feeling, some of the hauntings and the demons of Dolphins past there.
And the bruises from last week. Skylar Thompson got his butt kicked in that game. He had some middle, I don't know what the official diagnosis was, but it was a rib injury from last weekend, and he got hit hard.
Whenever your quarterback has a rib injury, that's on the offensive line.
Yeah.
Like, I know sacks is a quarterback stat. If my guy has his ribs busted up, we're doing something wrong up front. Hopefully the Dolphins are able to sort that thing out. We got an interview from Tyler Hero on the other side, one of the stars of the Miami Heat, who we did get a chance to catch up with here today at Heat Media Day. Again, this squad coming off of a playoff appearance that it was by way of the play-in again, which I'm sure they don't want to have to put themselves in the live bullets of play-in basketball again this year. But they got it done. They got to the first round. They lost to the Celtics in 5 games. We talked to Tyler Hero about what he did this offseason. A lot of weight gaining, a lot of training to be playing off the ball with Terry Rozier. We also got his thoughts on the Timberwolves and Knicks trade that sent Karl Anthony Towns out of Minneapolis and into Madison Square Garden with those Knicks. And you'll be surprised, his take on that blockbuster trade. Tyler Hero on the other side. That's CCAT. I'm Theo Dorsey. We're Theoretically Speaking on ESPN 106.3.
Mm.
Live from the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios, Theo Dorsey is theoretically speaking. Streaming live on YouTube, here's Theo Dorsey.
Happy hour here on Theoretically Speaking. No Tina today because we're on the move. We're out at Kaseya Center for Miami Heat Media Day. 46 wins last year. They're entering year 17 under head coach Eric Spoelstra, the man who got it out the mud from the video room up to the lead spot on the bench. We actually missed out on our interview with Spo, but it was for good reason, C-Cat, and it was delivered to good people. A conversation with the one and only Tyler Hero, who enters year six. He's put on some weight. He also has changed his mentality and his haircut. Here it is, our conversation earlier with Tyler Hero. Theo Dorsey here with ESPN West Palm, and I'm sitting here with Tyler Hero entering year six with the Miami Heat, year one with the buzz cut. The real question here is, did you have to cheat on your barber for this one, or is this same guy able to do this look too?
Same guy. My barber's elite. He's one of one, so he's definitely got me right.
You said up there on the dais that it's a more of a militaristic look. I said you're in album mode now. What other way would you describe this new look for you as you enter this year as a vet?
So I told you it's my military look, bro. I'm moving militant, trying to put a full version of my best version of myself for this season.
Coach Spo up there, he mentioned, you know, when he talked about the guys that are going to lean on the heaviest there for the starting five likely, he mentioned yourself, Terry Rozier, Bam, and Jimmy, who haven't really got a chance to get out there and see what y'all can do at a full potential to get together. For you, what are you hoping to see out of that fifth spot in the starting lineup that y'all can play alongside? What do you feel like those four is missing in that fifth spot?
Honestly, I'm not going to get into anything that's going to be starters or off the bench, myself, teammates. Whatever Spo and Pat and the coach staff come up with, that's what we're going with. They're going to put us in the best position to win. Everyone in this building, everyone in this organization wants to win a championship.
What about for you, man? You said you put on 12 pounds here. You've been eating everything through the offseason. Is it for you keeping that weight up as well as being able to use some of that weight in those playoff series when you really need it? Like, how much did you glean from what happened in that Celtics series that made you choose that decision?
I feel like if I could go into the playoffs at the weight I'm in now, I feel like I would be very good beneficial for me and my body and ultimately my game. Obviously, we play a lot more physical in the playoffs. Refs don't call as much. And I feel like having that extra strength and extra weight is good for me. I've gained weight in the past. I've lost it throughout the season just running, and my eating habits kind of go down as the season continues to go because of, you know, scheduling, and we land at 4 a.m. There's different times you have to get your meals in. So my biggest thing this year is trying to keep that weight on. I've never came into camp this heavy, but so I want to be that heavy and also keep it on.
We got Wisconsin's finest. We also got the guy pulled up here with the freshest of the cuts here in Tyler Hero ahead of another year 17 under Eric Spoelstra. You talked about it. You're like, yo, I got some of the best basketball minds here with the Miami Heat. Why would I even think about who should go where and what my role should be?
Yeah.
But having this many years with this organization, with Spo, what has that kind of done for you mentally as you've matured as a young man and as a player?
Just blessed. I feel like I kind of got lost in the sauce a little bit the last couple years and worried about points per game and accolades and stuff like that. Ultimately, I came into the league as a winner. At Kentucky, I was a winner. In high school, I was a winner. I want to continue to be a winner. And last season, that's not how we do things around here, at least. And we obviously were banged up, but we want to be, putting ourselves in a position to where we can play, late into June and late into May and early into June. So that's our goal, and we're really excited to be back. And like I said, we have some of the best basketball minds in the world in this building right here. So my job's easy. I just got to go and play basketball, and that's ultimately what. Where I'm at in my headspace and everything else that comes with it. Like I said, just got two great guys who've done a lot of winning in this profession, and we're going to leave it to them to decide who's starting, who's playing, who's not playing. Everyone knows what I think about myself, and then we're going to let the decision makers make the decision.
What do you credit most to that change of mindset this offseason? And also, where do you think, and you're just, we all do it, you know, especially when we're younger. Yeah. You're out there, you know, soul searching. You're looking. You're trying to figure out what's best for you. What do you think kind of diverted you off of that path of win first, where you were thinking about your own statistics and whatnot earlier?
You know, obviously I've always wanted to win, but like I said, I think just getting too caught up in the points per game and my role and this, that, hearing what they have to say. You know, I'm not worried about it. Everyone has their own opinion. Everyone can form their own opinion. Like I said, we have two very smart basketball minds in here, including, you know, the guys that we have on the roster. And everyone, you know, comes into with the open, healthy mindset and let the coaches decide on who plays and who doesn't play. And, yeah, I'm excited.
Where were you when you found out that your other former Kentucky Wildcat was headed to the Knicks and another Eastern Conference foe made a big move?
Yeah, I was at dinner the other night. We were sitting at dinner, and it was like Cat to New York. Yeah, I mean, I ain't going to lie. I'm not going to get my opinion on it, but I like Minnesota a little bit more. I think Minnesota won the deal.
That's giving your opinion on it a little bit. He said, I'm not going to do it. Tyler Herro joining us here on ESPN West Palm. And also for you, when you see those kind of moves that other Eastern Conference teams are making, though,
yeah,
and you see that the Heat feel like y'all have it within y'all's locker room. Obviously, you add a guy like Nazir Little, who's a dog, who yeah, is looking to reiterate what he is in this league. How much more confidence does that put in yourself? Because now it's like they're looking at you like, nah, we don't need to make a trade. We just need you to step up and be a better version of yourself.
Yeah. I mean, it's ultimately, like, the biggest praise you can have, you know, from, like, the organization. You know, obviously, we've been at this with this core for now going into year six. We've won a lot. We've lost some. And we've been up and down. And I feel like, you know, for the organization to have bring us all back, you know, we all, some of us young guys, continue to get better. Some of the younger vets like myself continue to get better. And then we rely on our big dogs, Jimmy and Bam, to help us, you know, take us over the top. And, you know, eventually, like I said, to put a championship team together, you're going to need everyone to step up. So you can be top heavy and not have nothing at the bottom, or you can have all 1 through 17 can all play. And I feel like that's what we have here.
That's exactly what it looks like when you look through the names on the roster that y'all have here going into the Bahamas. I also look at, again, that potential starting lineup, and I start to think, okay, I saw Bam stretching the floor a little bit more this summer.
Yep.
You talked about how you're going to be you've been working on playing off the ball more, and those are two things that create space mm-hmm. in the offense. How excited are you for this new look offense? Not just with you and Bam creating more space, but then also you're going to get a full season of Terry Rozier, who is, the ultimate competitor at PG.
You know, I think it's good. Like you said, Bam's continue to expand his game. And I think that's the biggest thing with, you know, us NBA players, especially here in Miami. We all want to continue to get better every single year. And that's ultimately what it's about. I feel like I haven't brought the best version of myself throughout a whole, you know, a season yet. And that's my goal, is to be able to put a full season together of me being my best version. And I feel like that'll bring the best out of everyone. And then having, you know, obviously adding Terry to the mix, I think he's, with the offensive, you know, firepower he brings, his speed, his quickness, getting up the floor faster, spacing more, I feel like we'll have a lot of areas to exploit. We have a lot of talent, like you said.
Is it weird seeing Coach Cal in a different color?
It is. You know, it is. I kind of like it, though. You know, I love Kentucky. I'm a Kentucky boy through and through, but I am a Cal guy too, so I'm following a little bit of Arkansas Razorbacks and Kentucky basketball right now.
Gotta love that. Gotta love that. And then for you, I know it's you talked about how y'all believe in this building that a championship is not only what y'all are capable of creating, but that's what the ultimate goal is. Just for you specifically, I heard Spo talk about you evolving on defense. You've talked about being better off the ball. Are there any other things mentally, or even, like you said, physically, you added the weight that you feel like you can add, that you can bring this year, that might shock some folks that didn't see it coming?
Yeah, I mean, mentally, too, I think is a big thing, like you said, just coming in with the right mindset. I said it earlier on the podium, just not coming in with any expectations of how much I'm going to average or how much I'm going to play or start or this, that. I know what I'm capable of, a player, and the organization knows what I'm capable of, and that's really all that matters. I just continue to put the work in and see what happens.
You was reading this summer, huh? You picked up a couple books.
Come on,
some podcasts.
Yeah, I'm definitely reading a little more and trying to, you know, just be more in tune with what's going on and being more mature.
Yes, sir. Maturing as a man, and then also with the buzz cut, the military cut, Tyler Hero joining us. This very last one for you is before we let you go here, you're bringing in a rook in Khalil Ware, yep. Who, I mean, we saw the draft, you know, profile after he got selected. Then you saw him in summer league, mm-hmm. and you're like, whoa, this might be a whole nother dimension offensively and defensively. When you see him and you think about how y'all can play a little bit of two-man game as well as what he adds on defense, what's the number one thing that you're excited about playing with him?
I mean, just his you know, his raw, like, features that he has. You know, I don't know how much he's going to be able to play and come in and contribute as a rookie. It's never easy to do that as, like, a big man, especially coming behind Bam, K-Love, TB. But all those guys are great guys that he can continue to learn from and great vets. But the things that I feel like he could bring right away are the things you see: his length, he can block shots, he can rebound, he can run the floor, catch lobs. All those things are things he can do right now in the league, and I think that's awesome. You know, being able to draft a rookie like that who can come in and, you know, contribute, because those are small things that mean, you know, the world and throughout a basketball game. Having another guy down there that can protect the rim, a guy that can block shots, is big. So I'm excited to see how Khalil continues to grow.
Tyler Hero, appreciate you making time, and enjoy the Bahamas in the season.
Appreciate
Sergeant,
you
Sergeant Hero right here taking the headset off. That was Tyler Hero. The Heat hit camp literally in a couple days in the Bahamas. Going to be a good time for them. We'll check in with them and see how that goes for them as they gear up for another hopeful postseason run. On the other side, we talk Monday Night Football. We give our picks plus some prize picks lineup tips right here on Theoretically Speaking on ESPN 106.3.
Live from the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios, Theo Dorsey is Theoretically Speaking. Streaming live on YouTube, here's Theo Dorsey.
Running around the house out of control when Ryan Williams caught that ball from Jalen Milroe.
Wait, why,
sweet
Theo?
Sweet feet.
You're not a Bama fan.
Sweet feet and danced around into the end zone?
Uh-huh.
I know I'm not a fan of Bama, but I'm a fan of loading up my pockets.
Ooh.
I'm a fan of getting to the Skrilla and putting some money where my mouth is. And I knew Ryan Williams was a talent, all right? I didn't know he was that good, wide receiver for Bama, 17 years old. I knew he was a talent. So when I was putting my prize pick entry together, and for those of you that don't know what prize picks is, come on. Where you been at? It's America's number one daily fantasy sports app, over 5 million active members. All you got to do on Prize Picks is you pick more or less on 2 to 6 different player stat projections, and you watch the winnings roll in just like I did. I needed one more Jalen Milroe passing touchdown. I needed a Ryan Williams touchdown before that game ended. Thank you to Georgia. Thank you to Georgia for staying in it, for making it a contest. And thank you to Milroe and Ryan Williams for making my day and helping make me some scratch. You know, C-Cat, now you can win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks.
Ooh.
With as little as 4 correct picks. Just 4 can get you 100 times your money.
That's incredible.
Incredible stuff there. Prize Picks, the only real money daily fantasy platform with an insurance policy as well for injuries. So if your lineup stays in play, even after your player gets injured. Think about guys like Rashee Rice that went out for the game. You had him in a lineup? Don't worry. Prize Picks is going to keep you alive. The Chiefs wish they had that kind of a mulligan. Prize Picks, though, is also locked in for you right now if you're just getting started. So make sure you tap in. Use the promo code THEOD. You instantly get $50 when you play just $5. The promo code is THEOD. I just gave it to my big brother. He hopped on there. He played a $5 lineup. He got $50 instantly to continue to play with, and it's guaranteed. Run your game with Prize Picks, and a couple of picks I have for tonight's Monday Night Football. I'll give you a few from both games, the Dolphins and the Titans, as well as the Seahawks and those Lions. And I'm really loving more than 59.5 receiving yards for Jameson Williams. He's coming off a down game. Expect him. I mean, he could get that in one play.
Sure can. Home run hitter.
And that is it has a devil face next to it, which means it's a big multiplier. I also like more than 3.5 receptions for Devon Achane, Dolphins back. He had 7 in the first 2 games of the season. Expect Snoop Huntley to go for some easy early stuff that involves a guy like Achane getting the ball in his hands early and getting off to the breaks. How about just making a couple picks tonight? Who you got between the Dolphins and the Titans tonight in a revenge game for Miami?
It's a gross game.
Yeah.
Snoop Huntley in, going with the Dolphins. Why not?
Yeah.
And then with the Lions, give me the Seahawks. Not a sexy pick, but I'm going to go with them in the 4 points.
I do see the Seahawks getting them on the road, upsetting them. It's a really dangerous play to play, but I'm going to be playing that as well. But the Dolphins winning at home, I love tonight as well. That's C-Cat. I'm Theo Dorsey. Miami Heat Media Day stuff going to be flooding your YouTube timeline, so tap in. Go in love, go in peace, go enjoy.